You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, guys. Welcome back. Happy Tuesday. It's been a nice weekend. I hope everyone had a great start of the week to start it off with good things going on in your life. Here to pick up where we left off in recognition of Domestic Violence Month. It also is the month of cancer survivors, and also the lost loved ones, you know, that are not with us due to cancer. Everyone had a great time at the walk. I'm glad to see that. But picking up where we left off with this whole domestic violence recognition, there is a spike in domestic violence. I mean, like a really huge spike. You know, I was reading in the news today, 2020 was the biggest year all across America for domestic violence. And victims and survivors of domestic violence, I like to give, you know, my full support and recognition of them, because it's a very serious matter at hand to be a victim of potential, you know, acts of domestic violence. There's all sorts of things that can go wrong. You know, some people can relate. Some people can't, because they haven't been down that road to experience some of the things that others have went through, you know, and it's good to be aware to stay away from the craziness, if you can, by all means, because it has a tendency to follow you somewhere down the path. And sometimes in these domestic violence situations, some people can't get past them, and it hurdles them, you know, it paralyzes them into being a victim of circumstance, you know, at the hand of others. And sometimes people think that domestic violence is something that is natural, like they become immune to it, you know, and it's very important that people stay aware of certain things that could potentially go wrong in toxic relationships, you know, where people can misinterpret the relationship, not knowing that you truly just want to be friends. And if you happen across certain lines with that person, they begin to hear these little voices in the back of their mind, you know, saying, hey, you're really mine. And you're really not. And by the way, guys, it can go both ways, male or female. Well, the gentleman that I met him at a recording studio. His name is Flame. He will be coming on the show today to talk a little bit about his potential toxic situation at hand, which I thought was very important, because, you know, things can go left really quick in a relationship of a person that has been abused by another. And it's important for people to see the signs, you know, when they first come at hand, because a lot of people, like I said, they believe that this is natural. He only beats me because he loves me, you know, that type of thing. Or she only spits in my face and hits me with a bat because she loves me. You know, it's all kind of toxic situations. You know, a guy who's obsessed with a woman, you know, it can go down the wrong road. Trust me, it can go down the wrong road. We hear about this stuff every day, all day, until it affects us directly. And then we're like, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. I should have stopped and paused right here, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you keep yourself safe and you don't run into situations such as those of domestic violence / toxic relationships, because it can go really bad. And I'll tell you this part. My husband and I, prior to us getting married, there was a woman that was obsessed with him, you know, of Latino descent. She was Puerto Rican. And she basically lost it because he basically didn't want anything to do with her. You know, it was like a really bad situation. So he's showing me text messages, and I'm reading the text messages, and I'm saying to myself, are you kidding me? Like, what is going on here? The messages basically said that she was upset because he didn't want her. And, you know, she was upset and she wanted to break his windows out of his home. She wanted to cut his tires and she wanted to make him bleed because she felt as though he played on her emotions. That's how basically she felt. And I tell you, I saw something really bad happening because she was a flamethrower, and, you know, I just saw something really bad happening. So I'm glad that he made the right decision in marrying who he married at the end of the day, you know, to stay away from toxic situations that could have landed him in a very bad place. Because when you got someone threatening to destroy your valuables, such as your home, your vehicle, you know, that's really crazy, you know. And then she was utilizing her jobs, you know, internet provider to falsify different names of who she was and make up stories about him. I mean, just crazy, psychotic stuff, all because, you know, he said, look, you're not what I want. I'm not interested. And basically that's it. And basically she lost her cap. You know, and I get it. You know, I probably would have lost my cap too, knowing what I know now. He's a good guy. But, you know, toxic situations are so important to stay away from and not get yourself tied up with it. There's another thing I wanted to bring awareness of, and that is the first signs of being in a toxic relationship. You know, sometimes people who have been abused by others, they have a tendency to carry those ill feelings, you know, with them. And it's not good because now you're in a new situation and you have a very toxic situation that has been created by you, the victim. And now your new partner is like, well, I never saw this in the beginning. Like, who are you? And that's why people get a little confused in relationships today. When they initially meet someone, they don't really get a chance to know them. They basically, you know, not jump the broom, but jump in the sack type of thing. And they're just excited. You know, it's new love. It's new fire. The heat is in the kitchen type of thing. And basically, people have to pause, look at the stop sign. You know, when you're driving, you see the red and white sign, stop. You got to stop and say, hold on a minute. Let me get to know you so I can know who you are, where you come from, and what you've been through. These are some of the most important things to know about a person, you know, when you're encountering a new relationship. Not 3 months down the line, you're like, wait a minute, I saw a sign of craziness and this is not what I signed up for. You don't want to get 3 months in and calling it quits and now you're in court getting a restraining order because you're like, this person is psychotic, she's crazy, he's crazy, the family's crazy. Like, you don't want to be in a bad predicament of craziness, or much less, you know, they usually say the mark is 6 months. You know, if it's going to be a make it or break it type of situation where, you know, guess what? I'm in this relationship 6 months in, I'm in love and I want to get married. 6 months, I'm not going to say you're not in love, but you definitely have to know what type of situation you're going to be faced with jumping the broom. And if you're not prepared for certain things, you're going to think you are in an asylum with white walls and you see nothing but people in white outfits because the situation is going to be crazy to you. So it's always good to investigate, I take that back because, you know, I don't want to really say investigate, because when you investigate, sometimes you go searching for stuff and you're like, hold it. You're like 2 days in and like, I can't be bothered with you. And now you have more of a psychotic problem with someone because, you know, they're like, you slept with me already and we've crossed the line and now we're together, even though you've never confirmed anything as far as I'm together with you and you are my girlfriend, I am your boyfriend, this type of situation. Everyone assumes the situation of we're together when you're not really together. You're together on an intimate level. And usually when you cross the line of being intimate, you actually draw feelings closer than which they really belong, if that makes any sense. You know, the person is now emotionally in. They're physically in. And the day that you say no to anything, you're going to have a problem. So it's good for the guys and the females to know the person that you're getting involved with. It's just a very sad thing that, you know, people are so quick to pass judgment on their friends that, you know, take their time. Oh, you're moving too slow. He's going to find someone else, or she's going to find someone else. Guys, I met a gentleman over the weekend, really nice guy, really cool guy. And he says, you know, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. And I'm like, okay. And this is someone my husband knows, by the way. And I'm like, okay, that sounds really good. He's like, I want to invite you guys to the engagement party. And we're like, okay, that sounds good too. You know, great. And he's basically saying, you know, I don't think she's going to wait much longer if I don't like get the process going. And I'm like, okay, well, how long have you been dating? And it's almost a year now that they're in. And, you know, he's like, this is what she wants. She knows what she wants. And basically, I got to do it or else I'm going to lose out. And in some cases, this is very true. This is a fact. When you feel like, listen, I'm with this person. If I don't like take the next step, they're going to find a replacement for me. And no one wants a replacement. Because once the replacement comes in, now you really got a problem. So it's kind of hard to basically, you know, tell this person all along, you know, I love you, I want to be with you. And then now you're like, this is not what I want. So it's kind of hard when a person knows that they're being replaced. And when a person finds out, because initially, remember, they don't know they're being replaced. They kind of like, it sinks into their skin. Like, are they avoiding me? The last thing you want to do is have a situation where someone feels like they're being a part of a game called dodgeball, you know? So dodgeball is no fun when you're the person that everyone's trying to dodge. So dodgeball can cause a toxic situation where the person says, okay, I'm about to make your life living hell because guess what? I noticed that you're ignoring me now. So this can be another possible toxic situation that will lead to domestic violence if you let it go that far. And a lot of people don't foresee the unforeseen because they're thinking for that other person like, I'll get rid of her, or I'll get rid of him, or I'll get another guy to come around and make him jealous. I'll go out with another girl, sleep with her, and tell her a bunch of lies. It's a game of tic-tac-toe. And, you know, the X, the O, who's going to win at the end? And sometimes you played tic-tac-toe before. Sometimes there's no winners. You know, everybody strikes everyone out, either with the X or the O. So it's a lot of things as compensating factors to think about when you play the game of tic-tac-toe with someone's emotional feelings. And if you take your time and you really get to know that person and you see what makes them tick, you know, could be a time bomb you're dealing with. It could be a really bad situation. And usually, guys, you hear me say really bad situation. I kid you not, really bad situation. You're dealing with someone that has went through the hurt, the pain, the anguish of dealing with toxic relationships time after time and time again. And then now they meet you, either the princess or the king of Zumunda. And then they find out you're really not a king. You're a peasant, or you're not a queen. You're a housekeeper, you know, for the kings. And it becomes one toxic situation, you know, and it's good to keep things above board with that person. That way everyone knows their position. You know, we're in this together or we're not in this together. We're just friends with benefits. And I never really understood the term of friends with benefits, because I'm kind of thinking like, what kind of benefits are there? You know, are you like paying all the bills? Are you, I mean, I kind of know what that means as far as, okay, there's a sugar daddy there, you know, or a sugar mama or a sugar baby, you know, as they call them. But it kind of makes things a little confusing when there's no clarity. And that's a very good key word to keep in your vocabulary when you meet someone. You have to go back to think about clarity, because if things are not properly explained, a person can misinterpret the relationship. And a lot of times these relationships become toxic because there's no clarity. Like, where are we in this relationship? Where do we stand? And then at the beginning of getting to know a person, the first question you're supposed to ask is, what intentions do you have with me? What are your intentions? Okay, the guy may say, listen, my intentions are to just have you as my side chick. I'm married. I'm having problems. You know, I'm going to tell the world I'm not getting loved at home. I'm going to see what woman bites it and chews it up and, you know, makes me into her love muffin. Or the woman could be like, you know, out there cruising and picking up guys along the way. And, oh, my husband, he beats on me. Oh, he's so violent. Oh, he says so many bad things to me. And you're meeting this guy and you're like, guess what? He is remarkable because he complimented my hair, even though it's a mess. He said my hands were beautiful, even though they look like mechanic fingers. He said I had beautiful feet, even though I have feet like Sopsquatch. So it's a lot of different things that lead to people being misled. So it's good to have clarity upon getting into any situation that could possibly be toxic, and getting to know that person a little bit better than just, you know, the outer appearance. You know, as they say, you can put a wig on a pig with some makeup and everybody looks good with that. It's down on the inside. Like, what's on the inside of that individual, and what makes you feel good? Because you can't always go off of what's going to make them feel good. Because when you start making a person feel good in the beginning, guess what? Guys and girls, you have to continue to pamper. You have to compliment. You have to be their smoozer. You got to be their crutch. Guess what? Because now they can't walk without you. So it's a lot of different things that lead up to having a toxic situation. And most of you guys, I got to give it to you guys. You guys are some of the clueless individuals I've ever seen. The first thing that comes out your mouth is, well, what did I do? I didn't do anything. You know, you got this smirk on your face like, it was her. She's crazy. She's psychotic. But what did you do to make her psychotic and make her believe that she was your queen? You know, and then you put on the facade of being the king, but you're really a peasant. So it's a two-way street. And it's all about having proper communication, in which a lot of people lack today because everyone's so excited to, you know, go on with the next step of the relationship and really find out if this is really where you want to be with that person. And sometimes you find out later on, like, hey, this is not where I want to be. And unfortunately, you end up there and don't even know how you got there. So, you know, it's good when you have a minute to either sit back and think, you know, what am I doing in this particular relationship? What am I going to do different in this relationship? So it doesn't lead up to the toxic situation I had in the last relationship. Because domestic violence charges today, people, you got a domestic violence charge, you can't get a job, you can't get a library card, you can't even go to the museum. They're like, okay, we just scanned you. You know, you're a perpetrator. You're not allowed in. You know, there's a lot of things that are going to restrict you from being a part of. And you don't want to have that on your record, because nowadays with all the violence going on in the workplace, people don't want to be a part of it because they're saying, listen, we don't know if we should hire this person because they're a firecracker and they may blow this place up. Because not only could you have a toxic relationship, but you could have a toxic workplace. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she basically was telling me how a young lady gets up, and every time she gets up, she sprays her Lysol. You know, instead of having communication with her, this could lead to a toxic workplace situation. You know, speaking of toxic workplace situations, there's a gentleman in Philadelphia. He actually went into the hospital. You guys may have heard this story. And he shot a coworker. And a couple of people got injured throughout this transition. But people don't know the backstory to what happened. You know, it was a wife that was involved. The guy that got killed, unfortunately, he was a part of a domestic violence situation. You know, the wife is horsing around with this guy. He's like moonlighting at the house while the other guys that work at the hospital, and of course, they know his hours. They know he's there. And everyone's like, the guy's crazy. Oh, he went there and he killed the innocent guy. And no, it was a domestic violence situation. And unfortunately, if you're, you know, Papa was a Rolling Stone type of thing, if you're laying your hat in somebody else's home, believe me, your shoes are going to get knocked off. So, you know, not here to promote violence, you know, not at all. But if you're doing things that doesn't make sense, you're going to be in a world of trouble. And if you put yourself in that arena of being in another man's house, and you're at work now, and guess what? He knows your schedule, and he's going through there like a bat out of hell. Like, I am on a mission. You know, another thing, guys, if you're going to do something in your own home, don't have surveillance cameras, you know, eye spying everything. Because from what I heard is the guy went and looked at the cameras and saw his coworker with his wife, and he went ballistic. So it's something to really, really think about. You know, when you start like making people feel good and they start making you feel good, it's always better to have a situation that you know about and you've had enough time to think about, because in these type of situations, you never know what you're going to encounter, and it may cost you your life. And that's definitely something you don't want to do. You don't be a part of, you know, anybody else's potential situation. Because unfortunately today in relationships, a lot of people are not happy with their current situation. So they always have a tendency to have that wandering eye. Now, I know a lot of people know what the wandering eye is. You know, You ever see somebody that has an eye that goes like to the left a little bit and then they got one eye that's straight? That eye
Hello.
that's a little bit moving is you know, it's one of those eyes, the wandering eye. Guess what? We have Flame on the line and we want to talk to him a little bit about his current situation. And you know, after our conversation we had, I like to ask him a few things and quite sure you guys want to know too. Hey Flame, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm
I'm
fine,
doing
fine. Good to have
well.
you on today. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our conversation that we had about 2 weeks ago concerning dealing with a victim of domestic violence and how do you cope with, you know, being in a relationship with a woman that has been battered by someone else? Like, what kind of things you might go through, like outbursts and stuff like that. Is that like something that you go through in your relationship?
Yeah, like out normal outbursts. Sometimes something could be a misunderstanding or something that she might be traumatized by that'll trigger certain things. And it just be a little small outbursts or little small actions or most importantly, like hesitant of commitment, being afraid of being hurt again.
And how do
So it's
you
like things like
deal
that.
with like, okay, I'm in this relationship and I'm ready to take the next level with you, and you're like, you know, she's more like, no, I'm not ready yet. Like, how do you handle that?
See, me as a person, I don't want to force nobody to do anything. So it's like be whenever you're ready. So, you know, it's not forced upon, and anything I ask, if any day I could do, you know, to show my commitment of it, to show that I won't hurt her, that she don't have to be afraid. Just try to just I just remember to show how much that I care for her and I love her, that whatever she's going through, that I'm going through with her. That I help her get through it if she needs me to get. Try to make her feel, you know, comfortable around me and like safe. You feel me?
So, do you think that, you know, you've exhausted all of your avenues in making her comfortable and the relationship is still like at a standstill with her?
No, I've been seeing things get better and progress in her understanding things and letting her guard down. And I don't think I'm wasting my energy. It's just, you know, when you care for a person, you'll be there for them no matter what. It doesn't hold me back or anything. We grow together. And you
So
know,
do you feel like,
all things don't always be good. Some things be bad, but you take the good and the bad, you know, as long as it ain't too crazy.
do you feel like you're really appreciated in that relationship?
Yes. And sometimes I may, you know, when it get a little rough, but I feel like I am. I feel like
So
I
like
am.
what kind of things? Because you know, it's always two sides to every story. Do you sometimes maybe nitpick with her and like maybe trigger
Yeah.
certain things to make her react a certain kind of way to, you know, make her think about
Yeah.
things she's been through?
Yeah, but not purposely, but you know, sometimes that's why it's kind of like easy. Maybe I think it might be easier because, you know what I mean, I haven't experienced it. I just witnessed certain things growing up, and it's just like I understand. So it's like me having certain outbursts, and she understand that certain things. So it's like we have this understanding with each other. So I she let me know a couple of things that I may have said that may be small to me, but it hurt her. So I can understand that, and you know, and I do the same thing, vice versa.
And how do you go about like when you say something that'll tick her off and she's like, you know what? I'm done here. Like, what do you do to make her feel better?
My thing is, what I understand, she don't like being let down and or like giving up. Like if she don't give up on a person, she don't like when a person give up on her. Sometimes she need a space. Sometimes I just randomly guess to say maybe she needs a space to calm down. I just randomly guess it. But most of the time I kind of talk to her. I talk to her in a calm voice, make sure she don't see that I'm threatening or alarming, just so she can hear me out and understand that I'm trying to hear her out. And she explained her frustration and whatever it is I may have said or did. And I just, you know, fully understand it. And so I won't make her feel that way again.
Have you ever gotten to the point in your relationship where you're like, listen, I've done the best I could do and I just really want out of this now?
I felt like I wanted out, but I was going through a lot at the time. And a lot was overwhelming, and I was really like, and it was like, I felt like that about a lot of things at that time. So other than that, no, I don't see myself, giving up more.
You know, so, sometimes no, not really. In relationships, when there's domestic violence issues at hand, it can affect a person's ability to be intimate. Do you have that type of, you know, negative side in your relationship?
It does at points when sometimes when it's a little too much and we are separate, it'd be a little just separate from each other so it won't, you know what I mean? Like if I feel myself getting overly mad, I'll walk off or she do the same, vice versa. So it's like, I don't really know.
Have you ever spent the night out? You know, like I'm staying out tonight because I don't want to deal with this type of thing.
I done that once. My sister, she lives like directly across the street from me, so it's like I go to my sister's house, so you don't feel like I'm out doing nothing else. And sometimes her mom lives up the street from us, so she'll go to her mom's house just to cool off.
So, do you think sometimes this could be a potential toxic relationship and you're just like putting the band-aid on top of the wound? Like you're not really helping. You're comforting the hurt that already exists. You ever felt like that?
In the beginning, yes. Cause it's the beginning. So if progress is happening, especially if it's small progress, you don't really see it through. So it's like, as time went on, like, we'll be together 3 years in December, the 14th of December would be 3 years. So as time went on, I've seen changes in her and her approach and a lot of things just from the comfort I gave her. Just not even just with me and a lot of different people and a lot of different things. And me as well. Like a lot of things that I've seen progress.
So do you think with all that you've done so far in the 3 years in a relationship, have you ever like tainted the waters with telling her like, I'm going to do this and something, you know, because things happen sometimes and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a big blow up. And what happens when you can't come through?
As a man, I kind of pride myself that to be there whenever she need me. But whenever I kind of make sure I be there whenever she need me. So when it's the few times that I can't, she'll kind of understand because it's like 99% of the time I'm Johnny on the spot. So if it's like a few times, it's like, all right, just, you know what I mean? I'll make sure it's consistent. Right. So I just try to provide the best way I can and make sure I be ready when she need me for anything instead of trying to get ready.
And you are an aspiring artist and the song that we played last week, what was the name of that song?
Work Hard For It.
And just, you know, tell the listeners what's the meaning, you know, the backstory to that song, because you wrote it.
Yeah, basically it's just someone I know, you know, how you going through things and you trying to climb from the bottom to climb up and things get frustrating, you know, when you starting off from a new life, new perspective and everything, it gets frustrating. Especially when you don't see like the progress that I was talking about early on. So you'll work hard for a lot of things that set up for your future and is helping you now, but you might not see it. So this person I know, they was going through a little thing and it was like ready to give up. It was like, you know what, screw all of this. And it was ready to give up. So it was just just for the women that's going through tough things, like either a single parent or just trying to live and anything that's going through things and feel like they want to give up, to let them know, like, you came too far. So don't give up. You work hard for everything you got. Don't quit on everything you got. And it's going to always get better. Just keep positive vibes and keep pushing. That's the purpose of the song.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you, in this relationship, have you had any type of domestic situations? Could have been like verbal? Because sometimes it doesn't mean all physical for domestic violence. It could be
a couple of verbal words. Just not away from them boundary lines of, you know, but a couple of verbal words. Like, it could be something small that just means so big to me, is, you know, and you're insulted because you know it, but it don't be that serious, but it's just something like personal to me. Like, certain small things like that, you know, sometimes especially in the beginning, like, a lot of things been said and just learning. And the best thing, though, is just learning that we did for each other. And if we're on the same page and we have the same interest and heart with each other. So just to try not to say those things as a defensive mechanism, especially when someone who is there for you. So we've been doing our best of getting past that. And it's been a lot better.
Like, maybe in the beginning, because you know how it goes in the beginning, it's new love. And everybody's excited. Do you feel like maybe you could have overpromised, you know, that fairy tale love story? And now she's looking back like, what happened to my fairy tale? Do you feel like maybe you overpromised a couple of things?
A couple of them are in the works now. So, but, you know, even with a lot of things, she understood my patience. She didn't at first, so I had to understand, you know, patience as far as moving on. Like, one of the things, moving in with each other was one of our big things. And, like, she wanted to, but it was hard for her, like, moving in with a man, because majority of the time, the man moving with the woman.
Right.
But as that, she was staying with her mom, so it was like, that was one of the tough things of trying to get past this us moving in with each other. Then I have separate kids, and she has separate kids. So just trying to integrate everything together. That was one of the big things. I felt like for a minute, it took me a minute to give her that when I promised her that, because I started being hesitant.
And do you feel like sometimes, you know, she may vent at you because, you know, she's been through some things and she's like, you remind me of him. Have you ever heard of that statement before?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And see, with those things,
when you come from a
domestic situation, and then I'm a mommy, I'm trying to make sure that, are you talking about in that way? Because that's something that I'm not trying to be. And she was like, no, she didn't mean it that way.
But it's something in the relationship that makes her reflect. And sometimes, you know, when people have been through domestic violence situations, they will look at that person, they will see that other person, because it's things that you may say or do that make them have a flashback, you know, and say, hey, you remind me of him and I'm done with you. Like, let's just call it quits. Mm-hmm. How do you handle her at that point of saying, I want out?
First thing I always say is, if that's what you really want to do, then, you know, because I'm not going to force you. If that's what you really want to do, then there's nothing really I could do. And she always explained to me, she don't mean it that way. She just don't want to go through what she's been. And then I explained it to her. I asked her to explain and things that I've done to make her feel that way, because I may not have known that that situation occurred that made her feel that way. So now I'm learning new things. I'm like, all right. And I try. And sometimes I may say the same thing too. Or she'll see I have doubts from my prior situation. It wasn't domestic, but it's just, you know, We just talk, just try to communicate to each other through the frustration. And a best way to deal with it is to make sure we both understand where we stand on that.
So, Flame, I'm glad to hear that you are that guy who's going to stand up and be with your lady through thick and thin, whatever she's going through.
I was raised by my mom and my older sister, so they made sure that I was a gentleman.
You are a true gem. And I'd like to thank you for calling in today. And hopefully
no problem.
You'd like to see you and her back on the show.
Anytime.
Okay, Flame. You have a great evening.
You guys have a great evening, too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow, I tell you, that Flame, whew, he sounds like a hot one, huh? Lucky I'm married. But anywho, a guy that's going to stand by his lady through being a domestic violence victim, that says a lot about who he really is. And he really cares about this young lady's well-being and wanting to make sure that she's good and, you know, trying to cater to her every need so he doesn't become the guy of, you know, trying to smooze her over and make her promises that he never fulfills. And usually I respect a guy like him because, you know, guys, they do have a tendency to like move in with women. Like they want to move in. They start with leaving a t-shirt. They left some socks, you know, they left a jacket, you know, and then they're like, you know, I kind of live here now. When are you going to cut me a key or let me hold a car? You know, I mean, it's a common practice today. But when a woman meets a man, a real man, that's going to come up to the table and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. I'm here to see you through. We can build together. I'm not here to hurt you. And just the whole fact of, okay, I slept out before, but my sister lives across the street. So basically, girlfriend could get her binoculars and she could look through the window and she could probably see him through the window. So this is really, really an incredible situation. He's not like the average guy. I'm going to a hotel for the night. And who are you going to the hotel with? Because you're lonely and you're upset. You know, he's the guy who's like, I'm going to stay at my sister's. I'm not going to make her mind think I'm cheating on her. I want her to see I'm not like the guy that did all these things to her and lied to her. I'm the stand-up guy that I'm going to always be. And I mean, Flame sound pretty true to me. I mean, I hope he sound true to you guys. When I met him, he was a true gem and very interesting guy who's very also emotional because his words of, you know, the whole conversation about his relationship was really emotional. And he wanted to know, you know, how can I make my relationship better? You know, me as being a woman and him being involved with a woman, he wants to know, like, what is it that I'm missing, you know, being in this particular situation that I need to maybe brush up on, you know, so I can keep this a healthy relationship that will lead to marriage because he actually wants to marry her, you know, despite the confusion that goes on. And, you know, like he said, when you're in a situation where you have to exchange bad words, words hurt and words can lead to toxic situations. You know, it's a common thing today. Someone says this about you, you say this about them, you start talking about their mother, they start talking about your mother, they start talking about your sister who ate a little bit too much pie, and then there's a toxic situation. Now it's a domestic situation. So you always want to be mindful of your words because words are everlasting scars that will live with you forever. That person can hit you in the head with a brick and you will, you know, get some stitches. You'll feel better later. But those words, they replay in your mind and you say to yourself, I can't believe that they called me an onion. You know, it starts replaying, and you're saying, do I really smell like an onion? You know, why would he say that I was more like an onion? So those kind of things, they stick with you, you know, or, you know, the name calling with the guys, you know, oh, you don't satisfy me in bed anyway. Ah, that's why I got another guy who's going to satisfy me. That type, you can hurt someone's ego. And listen, it may or may not be true, but the whole fact of spreading malice with words against each other can be very harmful because usually, what do kids remember when they're little? They remember things people say, you know. Sometimes they don't remember the abuse, but they remember what you said to them. Like, I remember you called me ugly, you know, in the second grade. You know, these things replay in a person's mind. You know, or you know, you call someone short, no neck, you know, and they're like forever looking in the mirror, like, well, I know I don't have a neck, but what did they mean by that? You know, these words are everlasting, or just personal stuff that can directly affect someone's mental capacity of moving forward. You know, there was a guy that he's a friend of my husband's, my husband's friend. His girlfriend didn't want to marry him because, you know, she's like, well, you got to buy me the big house first, and then I'll think about marrying you. And his response was, I'm not a shrimp mignon. You're not going to treat me like that. And for the life of me, I kept saying, what is a shrimp mignon? I've never heard of that. I've never tasted that. But it was so hilarious because, you know, he was feeling some type of way because she was making demands, you know, and mentally he wasn't prepared for those demands. So he was sitting back and he had to pause and he had to call himself names, which was crazy to me, to try to get his point across to her that, you know, I'm calling myself these names because I'm not getting what I want out of you, lady. And basically, you know, she still didn't budge. But if you love someone, you'll skip over everything else and you'll keep moving forward for a good relationship. But I like to say words hurt, and we don't want to be a part of the name calling. Name calling is bad. One thing leads to another thing. And before you know it, the hands start flying. And before you know it, you've pushed someone. They pushed you back, and then now you have a domestic violence situation. Not everyone wants to be beat on, you know, pushed around and verbally abused. You know, some people want caring, nature-loving individuals in their life that can fill the void of what they've been missing for a long time in various relationships. I like to thank Flame for coming on today. Really, really good guy, really great guy. Everyone that listened on today, a few million people are on this call. Glad to know that the callers are listening in and you guys love the show. I look forward to you guys coming back next week, same bat time, same bat place. You know, I got the red phone by my ear waiting for my callers to call in with questions, so feel free. But I'd like to have you back next week. We got a lot to talk about. Have a young lady coming on the show. Interesting things going on in her life. She's also a victim of domestic violence by the hand of her mother, and then she abused her kid's father. So this story has a twist to it. But I'm quite sure you guys can understand. Have a great night. I look forward to seeing you again. Tommy Torres signing off. Good night.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only.